Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another fun-filled edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews, I am of course Wayne Lamo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, hi. Hey, you keep on saying my name, Macaulay Matthews. No S at the end of my name, man. What's up with that?
I put an S in your name?
No, there's no S at the end of my name.
No, did I say that?
Yeah, you said Macaulay Matthews.
I know there's no S in your name. I'm for it.
Matthew.
I know it's Matthew. Thank
you. He said Matthews.
My fault.
Okay.
We'll sell the score, you know.
All right. We need to have a stunning contest.
You know, tell you what. I'll call you Matthew when the Mets beat you in the World Series.
All right.
He's
dreaming.
So Matthews it is then.
All right.
Well, we're gonna lead up the show with a little Knicks basketball. Of course, the free agency July 1st just finally came and went. We'll talk about the rumors. Then we'll kick it to the MLB. Talk about the Mets after their shaky win. But we'll talk about that also. Yankees, they won. They had another walk-off win, waking me up, when they actually have a challenge and actually lose a game for a change. But we'll talk about that, and we'll talk a little. We're gonna the show is about sports, entertainment, everything else. So this the next thing we'll talk about after that is the Kobayashi, the hot dog eating contest. And then we're gonna, you know, as always, end it with a little sports entertainment. You know, with a talk about a little WWE or TNA. You know how it is. And of course, as usual, we open up the phones for you, ladies and gentlemen, our fellow, you know, our future world champions. You know, you give us a call if you'd like, and let us know what you think. But we will lead off with NBA. Finally, man, July 1st finally came, man.
Yep, it came and passed.
Yep. So July 8th is the real deal. That's when NBA free agents can sign with new teams.
Mm-hmm.
So the rumor is of course LeBron James, he's gonna reveal what team he's gonna go to. He's gonna have a meeting. He's gonna have like this special event on Wednesday. I think he's promoting something from Nike, probably shoes or such, and he's gonna reveal his decision there, supposedly. But knowing LeBron, I think he's gonna. I'd be surprised because I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna milk this until the end of the month. But the way how they're reporting, the way the reports are going, it looks like he might make a decision on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think he's going to make his decision by the end of this week. I don't think he's going to milk it. I mean, it's been milk for the last 2 months already.
It's been milk for the past 2 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have a three-day Nike event in his hometown, Akron. And they expect the decision to be Wednesday night. But can you imagine? Man, I don't know. The event's in Akron. I can't literally see him have the guts to tell, you know, the people that he, you know, in his hometown that he's leaving.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know. If it was in a different place, you know, maybe hosting in New York or some other place, maybe, I mean, it isn't Cleveland. Technically, it isn't Cleveland that he's hosting the event. I don't know. I'm starting to have my doubts that he's coming here. But then again, we shall see. I just can't. The only way I can envision him coming to us would be in the event he says, you know, hey guys, you know, I got something to tell you. You know, I had the decision for years and I decided I'm leaving you guys. I'm going to New York. And then you hear the people like, oh, Lord, oh, no. Change your mind. No, man. Sorry, I gotta make the decision what's right for me. I love the city of Cleveland.
Nah, I don't see him crying, you know.
I bet he's gonna cry. I'm telling you he's gonna cry. I see it.
He's too cocky to be crying.
Yeah, but he's gonna have to show that it's emotion, you know, that he's not just because he's, you know, just, you know, LeBron always talks about loyalty and being a winner. So this way, you know, he'll be like, you know, he tried, you know, he gave it his best, you know, he tried 7 years to try to win a title, and, you know, they couldn't get it done.
And then, if he cries, I don't want him coming to the Knicks then, because, I mean, I don't want to see another bitch on the Knicks, so. We already had enough bitches.
Dude,
Tim Thomas.
But Eddie Curry's a loser, but.
Yeah, Eddie Curry. I mean, I think it's a 25% chance. I know the LeBron's representatives met with the Knicks yesterday, but
yeah,
I mean,
particularly.
I don't know. I think right now the two teams vying for LeBron are Chicago and Cleveland. Those are the two main teams right now.
Yeah, because of course the July 1st started. He kicked off the July 1st by meeting with the Nets for an hour and a half, and then. At one, it was, I think, 11 to 1. And then at 1 p.m. to, like, 3:30-ish, he spent, like, 2.5 hours with them.
Yeah.
The Knicks. And then afterwards, I think on Saturday, he spent 3 hours with Pat Riley and the rest of the Heat organization, including the head coach, Shapovalov, whatever, however you pronounce his name. It's a,
yeah.
I don't know, but I would assume it's Greek, but I don't know. But they spent 3 hours with him, and then today he spoke to Cavaliers and Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
And whatchamacallit, I'm trying to remember. Cavaliers, I don't know if you heard, but Cavaliers, they made a video, a cartoon for him, and it featured characters from his, you know, having, you know, the characters, of course, LeBron, his friends, and, you know, they had inside jokes, and they poked fun at other organizations. And, yeah.
And then what they had to say about the Knicks.
Yes, I was getting to that point right now. LeBron, you know, there was in the cartoon, they had a cartoon LeBron, and then the actor in the movie was in the cartoon was saying that, you know, I'm trying to remember exactly what the guy was saying, that why would you want to leave? You're a king. Why would a king want to leave to become a prince? Yes, you know, saying that, you know, if he goes to New York or any other place, he'll lose his kingdom or whatnot. And then he was making fun of, I guess, they were making fun of Pat Riley's hair.
Oh, shit.
And they had a character called, trying to look for, what was the name of the character? They were, of course, mocking James Dolan. And then the what was it? I forgot how they had a name that rhymed with Dolan. Maybe Dolan? I forgot the name of it. And then the guy, he was ordering around. He was like, you can't speak and stuff like that. He was talking to Danny Welsh. I wonder who they're making fun of. Maybe Danny Welsh, perhaps?
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, they were saying, like, because the Knicks are, you know, rumored to always be an organization that likes to keep stuff hush-hush. Well, according to, you know, the media, I mean, I've never, you know, worked for the Garden, so, I don't know how it is, but by all reports, it looks like it could be a difficult place to work at times.
Well,
so they were making fun of, you know, Dolan and Walsh. Pretty much, they were, you know, they were recording him. Knicks, on the other hand, when they started off their video presentation on Friday, they had James Gandolfini and Edie Falco from the Sopranos reprise their roles as Tony and Carmela Soprano, and then Tony Soprano was saying that, you know, he has a friend that he's waiting for and stuff like that. And then afterwards, he said that his name is LeBron James. So then pretty much he had, like, this whole, like, mock thing. Like, he was wearing a hat, and pretty much it revealed that at the end of the Sopranos show, when people, it had an ambiguous ending, whether or not they got killed off or they escaped. Well, according to the, you know, this presentation, they somehow survived, and they're in a what's the name of that place? Witness protection.
Oh.
So according to them, they according to that, you know, small video, they were at a witness protection. So then, cut to the story short, they had, you know, videos of, you know, they showed him going to the Garden. I mean, I didn't see it, but from what I read, you know, from the reports, and pretty much they were showing, you know, other celebrities like Chris Rock and Reggie Jackson, and, you know, Walt Clyde Frazier, Earl the Pearl, you know, people who's won in the city, you know, what New York can do as a, you know, for someone's legacy, you know,
right,
playing in New York and winning a championship over here, I should say. So, you know, then Friday, or was it Saturday? I'm trying to remember. They met with Dwayne Wade. And
yeah.
Dwayne Wade was saying that he's in a New York state of mind, and not reading. I read today that they said Dwayne Wade said that if you get him one player, he could win a championship here in New York.
Well, we already it looks like the Knicks are going to sign Stoudemire, so that's one player.
Reportedly, Stoudemire is gonna sign a 5-year, $100 million maximum contract. And even though the guy had a history of knee surgery and that freak eye surgery he had a couple of years ago, they're not gonna insure his contract. So if he does go down, it could be if he does get hurt. Worst case scenario, it could be a Allen Houston, Antonio McDyess situation, but. Hey, we gotta be positive. We got a good power forward. Looks like this would mean that David Lee, one of the most hardworking guys in this organization, is gonna get, you know, kicked out the door. But there's another rumor is that maybe Lee might sign with Toronto. As shocking as that sounds.
Oh wow.
Maybe if Lee signs, he could do a sign and trade, and somehow they could get David. Chris Bosh here.
But then again, the Raptors will have to sign Bosh.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
And we would have to sign Lee.
Well, yeah, and then trade them over to each other. But
that's not going to happen.
I don't know, but if it does happen, imagine that. We'd have two big men, you know. And then
yeah, but I don't see that happening because I don't see the Knicks will have to sign Lee, the Raptors will have to sign Bosh, and then you have to do a sign trade for. No, that's not gonna happen.
I agree with you. I'd have to believe that to see it myself also.
Yeah.
Because if they do agree to that, then Knicks would have some. They wouldn't have in a long time. Two big men. Like they haven't had that since Huey and Oakley. You know, two big men that could rebound and.
But
who knows? It's too early to say.
You can't get two big men. You have to have a scorer, outside player.
Well, yeah, of course.
Shooter, so.
But if they were gonna get those, if they were able to get both guys, they would of course. It would be contingent that they get another guy. You know, like because Bosh, the rumors is that Bosh wants to play with Wade or LeBron. So if they were able to pull off this signing trade, I would assume that there's a greater chance that LeBron or Dwayne Wade would be coming here.
But how would they do that? Stoudemire would be, but they would have no room to sign. But that doesn't make any sense though.
Because they would do a signing trade, and Knicks are under the cap. You know they could. Sign Amari for the rest of the cap, and then they could, sign away since they're under the cap. Maybe they could, sign for.
But they have Bosh and Stoudemire. How would they have room to sign LeBron or Wade?
I would assume one of those guys would have to take a pay cut.
Which I doubt that's gonna happen.
Well, yeah, that's true. Or if they could somehow get a way to get rid of Curry's expiring contract. But we
maybe.
Shall see.
I don't know.
And another thing, what's his name? I'm trying to remember. Amari Stoudemire was saying is that he was talking to he's trying to recruit LeBron and Bosh, and he spoke to Tony Parker and Carmelo Anthony, and he said that they'd be interested, if he comes over here. And those guys are going to be free agent next year if they don't sign an extension. So we shall see.
If Greenway comes over here, I'll be cool with that.
Yeah, I'd be cool with that too. If we can't get LeBron, I would settle for Wade.
It looks like Dwayne Wade might be going to Chicago because hear that he's got some kids in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he's in a custody battle right now. So. I mean, I hope he's still in a Stuart New York state of mind, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Looks like he might be going to Chicago right now.
This is the first time he ever. I doubt Dwayne Wade's coming here. I think it'd be either Miami or Chicago.
Yeah.
Because other than the interview he had, the the meeting he had with them, he never spoke highly of New York. Even himself, he'd said, you know, he's gonna remain in Miami. He's the only player in this free agency who's actually saying that, you know, they want to, you know, return to their team, who's actually trying to recruit other players to come sign with his, you know, original team.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see, man. By the end of this week, we'll hear something.
Hopefully.
I already hear that Joe Johnson's going to accept the Hawks' offer.
Right. And also, you know, Paul Pierce, he resigned, and Dirk Nowitzki, however you want to pronounce it, they both resigned with Celtics and Mavericks, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
But no one really cared about those guys. I mean, especially Nowitzki, unless if you got, say, LeBron James or Wade, he could be the Robin.
Yeah.
But nah, no one wanted that guy to be, you know, the man. Cause we all saw what happened, you know, when he took the team, you know, the Maverick team, led by Avery Johnson. You know, that team, you know, they had a two game lead on Miami, and they choked.
Yeah, and once the postseason comes around, Nowitzki, he's soft. He's soft when it comes to the playoffs.
Yep.
He can't really carry a team to the championship.
Nope.
So, I'm hoping LeBron comes in, but right now it's not looking good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe it when I see it. When they sign on the dotted line, if they sign on the dotted line, you know, then I'll believe it. Because there's been many times, you know, from personal experiences, oh, Mets and Derek Lowe is gonna sign. You know, it's a done deal. You know, they're gonna sign. And then, of course, he signed with Atlanta because Mets weren't willing to overpay for the guy and give him that extra year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, unfortunately, re-signed Oliver Perez to that 3-year, $36 million. But I guess we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. But I'll keep my fingers crossed. Hopefully, LeBron, Stoudemire, and I don't know, somehow find a way to keep Lee or pay for Bosch, you know. But we shall see what's going to go on.
And, I mean, they're saying Amari might come here, but I still don't know if Amari did come here yet. I mean, it looks like that. It looks like he might be coming here, but I don't know yet.
Right.
I'll see it when they announce it.
Yep.
I believe when they announce it.
Yeah. There's some reports saying that Stoudemire and Knicks is a done deal already. And Knicks. And in the presentation on Friday, Knicks, one of the stuff that they were telling LeBron, other than, you know, they, you know, choose what player you want, and we'll go after that guy so you can, you know, come over here. Another thing they were telling him was, they told LeBron, was basically, is that this is the best place for you, this is the best place and the best chance you have of being a billionaire, because that's obviously one of his main goals. Other than winning
yeah.
a title. So we shall see how that turns out. And hopefully he'll make the smart decision and, you know, come to New York.
We shall see. I'm hoping so.
Yep. Well, I mean, other than Stoudemire, what realistic, who do you think is going to come here?
It's not LeBron, and they might have to wait next year to get Carmelo or Tony Parker.
Yeah, it looks like that. And then if they don't find a way, which most likely they won't, find a way to trade away Curry, unless if they trade him away by the trading deadline, his contract's going to go off the books, and then that's another $11 million you could go after a star player.
Yeah.
So Knicks are looking good. You know, all they got to do is sign some guys and, you know, they'll be at least respectable. At worst, they'll be respectable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Lord knows they haven't been respectable since
2000 or 2001 for that case.
But I guess we shall see, and we shall switch gears to a little baseball. Of course, your Yankees, they had a walk-off win.
Yankees got their 50th win today, man. 50th win of the season. A half game, 1.5 games in front of the Red Sox right now. And just found out that six Yankee players are going to the All-Star game. It's Jeter, of course, your usual suspect.
Sabathia.
Robinson Cano making his first All-Star appearance.
Mariano.
And Mariano. Who else? Oh, Hughes. Still Hughes making his first All-Star appearance. And A-Rod. And PC Sabathia. And, you know, I think some people saying that Felix Hernandez, he should have made the All-Star game, you know, the pitcher from Seattle.
Yep.
But, I mean, yeah. Phil Hughes has 10 wins, so I think he deserves to be there.
I think Phil Hughes definitely deserves to be there. I don't know about A-Rod. I mean, A-Rod is a great player and all, but this guy, he's having his worst year, and he was injured. I think that was a popularity thing.
I would say A-Rod has 60 RBIs. I don't say he's having his worst year.
Well, he only has 10 home runs, don't he?
He was injured for some of the portion of the season. So.
Yeah, but last year he was injured too. But he still was managed to hit 30 home runs and 100 RBIs.
Yeah, I mean, he could finish with that again this year.
We don't know.
True. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he could go on a hot streak and boom.
This guy still has, you know, he still has 60 RBI, so. But, I mean, yeah, he has been injured, but, yeah, someone else could have probably deserved that spot more than he does. But.
Yeah, he'll definitely reach the 100 plateau, RBI plateau as usual. But, I don't know. Other than that, I mean, I don't know, but another.
I'm happy for Cano. Cano made the All-Star team, and Cano, I think, should be American League MVP this year.
Yeah, he definitely would get my vote. This guy has, you know, actually carried the Yankees. I mean, other than prior to his career, he's, you know, just been a supporting player. But this time he's actually carrying the team.
I'm happy for him that he made his first All-Star appearance. So. Looking forward to seeing him there.
Congratulations to Cano and Hughes on their first All-Star appearance.
Yeah, but as far as the Yankees, as you said, you know, walk-off win. Mariano actually blew a save.
Right.
His first blown save since May. So gave up the lead to Toronto. And then the Yankees came back. And Marcus Thames, who just came off the DL, he hit a single. They're driving a run, and Yankees walk off and win. And right now they're 1.5 games in front of Red Sox, who lost today to Baltimore. So Yankees are looking pretty good.
Yep. The two-time Yankee come through in the clutch and gets pie in his face.
Yeah, he got a pie in his face today, and, you know, the guy just came off the DL and he got a big hit, so. Yankees are, you know, they're heading into the All-Star game looking good, but, you know, Burnett, he's got to pitch better, and let's see more consistent hitting from the Yankees, because the Yankees haven't been really, this year they haven't been the hitting superpower they've been in past years, you know. They struggle sometimes hitting in a clutch, so.
Well, most likely they'll get a, you know, they'll go on a hot streak the second.
Hopefully. And what about across town, your boys?
Yep, I was just about to talk about that.
Wright and Reyes going to All-Star game, right?
Yep. Wright and Reyes, congratulations to them. Much deserved for Wright, his fifth in a row. And I think only Strawberry and Seaver and Piazza have more, All-Star appearances. I think he might have tied Piazza with 5. And And Strawberry and Siva has 7. So, congratulations to him. Jose Reyes, he has his 3rd All-Star. He makes his 3rd All-Star appearance. You know, coming back from an injury that made him miss more than a year from last year. And he started off with a slow start, and now he's one of the leaders in triples and in all the, you know, major stolen bases. So Reyes is back to the way he is, but unfortunately he's had a injury, so he hasn't played these past 5 games. So Reyes makes his 3rd career All-Star selection, and that's also a Met record. I think he passed Bud Harrelson with the most shortstop appearances by a Met shortstop. So congratulations to him. Now here's my gripe. Why did they exclude Mike Pelfrey? Mike Pelfrey was having a great year. The guy only lost
true.
Twice. The guy is like 10-2. Only Imbaldo Jimenez has had a better year, than Mike Pelfrey. I mean, the only person on that level this year has been Imbaldo Jimenez, Pelfrey, and Cliff Lee. Not Cliff Lee, Roy Halladay. Well, I mean Cliff Lee in the American League, but
yeah.
But even Pelfrey's been better than Roy Halladay. Roy Halladay has 7 losses. I mean,
that's true, but the Phillies haven't been really great this year.
Well, yeah. And now you guys see, like, what happened to the Mets in 09. When your best players get hurt, it's not easy for your team to rebound and, you know, continue winning.
Well, I mean, you know, Halladay still has the lowest ERA in the National League, right?
What was that?
He has the lowest ERA in the National League, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, but if he doesn't have the lowest, he's definitely, you know, in top 5.
And this guy had a perfect game, so I mean.
Well, yeah, the guy threw the 20th perfect game, you know, in Major League history. Of course, Galarraga would have been one of the in the elite, but of course, you know, his perfect game didn't count. But yeah, Halladay, he's pitched well, you know. But like you said, the Phillies, you know, losing Rollins, and now Utley's has surgery on his I believe his thumb. He's gonna be out for 6 to 8 weeks. So
yeah,
that's gonna be a blow for them, and they're expecting Utley to come back in September.
It looks like the Phillies might not make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. And Mets, they bounced back from yesterday's horrible explosion by K-Rod, leading 5-2. And, of course, they lost yesterday 6-5 when K-Rod, you know, lost all his command, you know, on the mound. But kudos to Takahashi. He bounced back and got the win. Mets was leading 8-0, but of course, you know, the Mets, they always have to make the games interesting, and they turned the 8-0 game into a 9-5 victory. And they had to bring in K-Rod.
Again?
They had the first 2 people on in the 9th, and then they brought in K-Rod, and K-Rod redeemed himself. So K-Rod had his Red Dead Redemption on.
He's been pitching a lot lately, K-Rod.
Yeah, man. He yesterday, when he imploded, he threw 27 pitches. The Friday, he threw 10. I mean, this guy's hands are going to fall off.
For real.
Overworked.
I remember Angels, they overused him for... Remember that season when he blew, broke the saves record? I mean, the Angels overused him in that season.
Yeah, he had 57 saves. Season, you know, regular season saves, which was, of course, a major league record.
Yeah.
But he had 7 blown saves.
And the Angels overused that guy. What year was that?
That was in 08.
That was in 08, right? Okay.
Yeah. his last year with the Angels before coming to the Mets.
I thought it was 07, but yeah, you could be right. Probably was 08.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Angels overused the guy, and you know the Mets don't want to do that. Because let's say you guys do go to postseason, the guy is gonna. I mean, his arm's not gonna be there in the postseason.
Yep.
When you need it the most.
Exactly. Pedro Feliciano, he keep pitching too. Every day, he. I think the guys on SNY, they call him the perpetual Pedro. he pitches every day.
What about Ali Perez? I mean, isn't he a bullpen guy now?
No, Oliver Perez. He's been on the DL for months now, and we don't miss him. But he's starting to throw. I think he threw a game in single A. So you know rehab starts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's with Beltran down there. You know,
Ali Perez,
you know, doing well down there, you know.
The magnificent Ali Perez is injured?
Yep.
Man.
Yeah, I think he's down there with Carl Pavano.
Carl Pavano's injured also?
No, but give him time. He'll be injured. Tell him he's traded to the Yankees, and we'll see. He'll pull something. But Oliver Perez, man, that was a bust.
What do you think the Mets are going to do with him after this season?
And trade him for a bag of baseballs? I don't know.
I think they might trade him for, you know, they might even try to trade him this season to get Cliff Lee. I mean, there's rumors that Cliff Lee might get traded somewhere. So,
do you honestly think they would trade Oliver, they would trade Cliff Lee in any package deal for Oliver Perez?
I don't know. You know, maybe.
Oliver Perez is making $12 million a year. A year.
How much is Cliff Lee making?
I don't know, but I'd rather, man, I wouldn't take Oliver Perez now if they offered him for free. The Mariners wouldn't take him.
I don't know. You know, some teams are desperate, so you never know.
Yeah, but Mets would have to eat all that most of the salary for them, and I don't even think anybody would take them.
Yeah, you're probably right.
This guy, he's a head case. I don't think any team in their right mind, other than the Mets, would take him.
Hey, you know, you never know, man. Some teams are desperate.
Oh yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. When he gets back on the free agent market after next year, you know, he's gonna be a free agent, and you know, he's a lefty. He'll be like 30 years old, and if he could somehow get his power, you know, he'll be in the game because you know how they feel about lefties. They love lefty pitchers. Jesse Orozco, he pitched. He probably retired when he was, what, 45? Same with Randy Johnson. I mean, of course, those guys were good. But a power lefty, that's even better.
Yeah.
Shoot, if Tom Glavine was a lefty, and he might not even be in the game. I mean, they probably wouldn't even give him a chance because, you know, they want, you know, right-handers are supposed to be hard-throwing. Never heard of a crafty righty. You know?
So who do you think the Mets would trade in the package deal for Cliff Lee? Because that's who, you know, Mets fans really want Cliff Lee right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that the Mariners would want Mejia. But I don't think Mets would give him up. Of course, they would extract Davis, but I wouldn't give him up. This guy's been awesome since he's been called up from the Mets. He hit his 10th career home run.
Yeah.
And
he's been playing good for the Mets, you know?
Yeah, and this guy has a – when he hits a home run, man, this guy, he has legit power, man. It's not like you know, David Wright's line drive, you know, balls that just go just over the, you know, the right field wall in Shea Stadium. His balls are bombs, man. His balls are like at least 450 or 500 feet.
What are his numbers this year?
I don't know his batting average. His batting average was, I'd say, maybe between, I don't know, 240-something and 260-something, I would assume. Batting average-wise, I mean, it's not great, but, you know, this guy's hitting 10 home runs, not hitting, what, I don't know, 40-something RBIs.
Okay.
I mean, in a short amount of time, he's done pretty well. And he's been playing an extraordinary first base.
Yeah.
And get this, with Tejada on the team playing second base, Mets have a homegrown infield. They got Ike at first, Tejada at second, Reyes at short, and Wright playing third. That's a, you know, that's a homegrown Mets infield right there.
Yeah, young cast of players.
Yeah. Tejada's been playing well, too. You know, for a guy who's a natural shortstop, you know, he's turned a double play. Kudos to the, you know, Met organization. Like, totally is doing well, you know. They just need to, you know, get a legit eight-inning pitcher. And hopefully K-Rod can pitch well and, you know, Santana, you know, bounced back to the way he was. He had a good start his last time out, you know, a couple of days ago. He only gave up one run, but, of course, the bullpen blew it, and Mets would later lose another game to the Nationals.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, talking about the Nationals, Strasburg isn't going to make the All-Star game.
Yeah. I mean, he pitched good, but I don't think he deserved it because he hasn't pitched long enough. He's only had He's only had five starts. I mean, you know, the guy's pitched well, you know, for the most part. Especially when he started out his first two starts, guy was lights out. His last three starts, he's kind of come down to earth. Especially his yesterday against the Mets. Mets had a shot to beat him, but the bullpen blew it. You know, they blew a 2-0 lead, and then they blew a 5-2 lead and end up losing Saturday 6-5 on a walk-off hit by Pudge Rodriguez.
Yeah, Strasburg doesn't have anything to worry about because, you know, he'll make the All-Star teams in the future. So
yeah, he should definitely make it next year. Keep doing what he's doing. Man, this guy, he really throws hard. I mean, every time he throws, it's like 98, 99. It's like, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, he's got a young, live arm.
Yep.
And Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor, they have young, live arms also, but
yeah,
the Cubs overuse them.
Yep, that's why they got to be careful with Strasburg because, you know, they don't want him to turn to the next Kerry Wood.
Yeah, or Mark Pryor.
Absolutely.
Is Mark Pryor even still in baseball? I don't even hear about him.
Yeah, I haven't heard about him either. I assume he's with a team, but I don't know. He might be hurt again. Because to be honest with you, I haven't heard about him, I think, probably since, spring training or so?
That guy, he looked like he'd be a great pitcher, but been injured.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, we're going to keep an eye on I'm definitely going to keep an eye on Strasburg since he's in my division. And then they're going to have a young guy who they drafted. What's his name? He's a catcher. I can't remember his name. He was the number one pick by the – I can't believe I forgot his name.
You know, Pettit's not going to be on the Yankees very long. So, you know, Strasburg may be a Yankee in the future. We shall see.
Yeah, but that's going to be at least 6 years from now.
Hey, Yankees could wait.
Well, yeah, of course Yankees could wait. Yankees wait for everybody. Because they think all the major league teams are their
You think all the major league teams are their minor league system?
Strasburg coming to the Yankees, he'll be like the biggest. Because let's be honest, Jeter's not gonna be on the Yankees for long. You know, his days are almost up. Strasburg could be the next big thing in the New York. I mean, right now we're talking about LeBron maybe being the next great thing in New York. The next great thing in New York might be Strasburg. Think about it.
Probably. Yes, the 17-year-old, the phenom, Bryce Harper, the catcher is who I was talking about. The power-hitting catcher that coming out of high school, they compared him to, like, a Babe Ruth. Or the LeBron James of baseball. And
what team is he? What team?
Nationals just drafted him this year. And this guy grew up. This guy grew up a huge Yankee fan. So
really?
He might watch out. He might sign with the Yankees when he reach free agency.
Hey, everybody wants to come to the Yankees, and we gladly accept them.
6 to 10 years from now.
Oh, yeah, right. You're 10 years from now. Young.
I'd say 6 to 10 because he just got signed. But then again, Nationals is a hard they've been better, but they're a last-place team. So, it's going to take him a while. Maybe by next year or 2 years from now, he should definitely be up with the big league. So maybe 8 years. Would be a more realistic, view of him coming, to the Yankees.
Hey, he grew up a Yankees fan, so.
But we shall, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Of course, we know this is 4th of July, and, of course, the hot dog eating contest happened earlier today. Joey Jaws Chestnut, he defended his title, the four-time hot dog eating contest champion. But that's not the big news. The big news is that Kobayashi, if my memory serves me right, he's a six-time hot dog eating contest winner.
Seven-time.
And he was, reportedly he didn't have an agreement with the competitive eating committee.
He wanted more money. It was like a contract dispute or something.
Yeah, and he didn't agree. They didn't agree, so he wasn't permitted to go. So then he pulled a WWE moment and start pointing at the cameras and. Try to, storm the hot dog eating contest. And then afterwards, the cops had to escort him out of there. I mean, like, wow. I mean, now they're trying to bring entertainment into sports now. I mean, first it happened in boxing. Then it happened with wrestling. And now they're doing this with a hot dog eating contest.
Well, I mean, competitive eating is not really a sport. It's like
eating. I mean, of course, they think it's a sport.
I mean, it's eating.
I told you. I totally agree with you. It's eating, it's not really a sport, but in their minds, they think it's a sport.
It's more entertainment than a sport, but I mean, what happened to it was strange. You have Kobayashi. He didn't even compete today, he's usually the favorite at these things.
Yep.
And the guy's in the crowd pointing at the cameras. The crowd. But the thing is, even though he was acting like a villain, the crowd was cheering for him, though. Like, Kobe, chanting his name, Kobayashi. And even when he stormed the stage and the security guards wouldn't allow him, the crowd wanted to see him, go on stage and eat. Like, let him eat. Let him eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got arrested and,
That's the most interesting thing that I've had in this,
Yeah.
We're actually spending, two minutes on this thing?
Yeah.
This is the biggest thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he didn't get to compete, and Joey Chestnut won his fourth food hot dog eating championship day.
54, 59 hot dogs he ate?
Yeah, like, I think 54, 56, compared to the 68 he ate last year.
Man, I don't know about you, man, but...
A lot of hot dogs.
I didn't see it today, the contest, but, man, that is the most disgusting thing, watching those guys eat. It looks like they're throwing up. They're eating and food flying out of their mouth. And they're all eating right next to each other. I mean, the pieces of food could fry in other people's food, and they're eating.
The way they eat it is disgusting. Like, some of them have different techniques. Some of them dip the hot dog into the water and then put it in their mouth so they could digest it real easily. It's disgusting.
Yeah. No. That's not a hot dog eating contest. That's a hot dog swallowing contest, man.
It's disgusting.
No.
Some of them, like, just turn the hot dog into a ball, a big ball of bread, and just shove it in their mouths. Disgusting, man.
How can you enjoy that?
I don't know.
They just swallow it. There's so many people, they just swallow it. They don't even have a chance to eat it.
Yeah, like when Kobayashi's coming, it looks like it just goes, he just chops it up and it just goes down like that. He doesn't even get to swallow it or nothing. It just goes through his mouth and into his stomach. That's all.
Crazy.
I could never do that, and I could in 10 minutes. I could only eat 10 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's it. Gain like 50 or 60.
How about that?
Yeah, but it is disgusting. But I could never do that, even for $1 million. I could try, but I doubt I'd win.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to win either. I guess,
Now, if it was some other eating contest, I'd win, if you know what I'm saying. And you know what I'm referring to, but that's another show.
But, the WWE, man, did you see Raw?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It was actually, wait, what happened to Raw? I forgot. I can't even remember what happened to Raw.
The NXT guys, they attacked the Hall of Famers, Ricky.
Ricky Steamboat, yeah.
And Michael P.S. Hayes, Mike Rotundo, aka the IRS man. I'm trying to remember who else was there. I can't remember who else was there, but
Bernard Chaser.
Yeah.
IRS.
Yep. Hey, what's your name again?
I forgot his real name.
Mike Rotundo?
Yeah, Michael Rotundo, yeah.
Hey, what you gonna call it? The NXT guys beat up on them, and I don't know if it's related, but Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, he had like a brain aneurysm.
From the beatdown?
Well, they're saying it's not from it, but it's kind of suspicious that, you know, after he, you know. After this, you know, this thing, now he has a brain aneurysm and he's in stable condition. I mean, who knows if it could, because there was at one point it could have been serious, but it, right now it's stable.
You know, I was like, when they were giving these guys a beatdown, I was thinking, hey, what if these NXT guys actually hurt these old dudes on purpose?
Yeah, I know. Because these guys, I mean, they're, you know, they're young guys. I mean, they don't know how to, you know, in the business, they don't know, you know, hurt somebody for real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you have pros, you know, like Goldberg and Ultimate Warrior. You know, they were professionals and they injured people.
Yeah.
These guys are young guys. I mean, they don't know the whole, you know, strategies of, you know, wrestling. They could accidentally literally hurt somebody. And those were the stuff that they did to them. It was devastating, especially Wade Barrett's finishing move. I don't know what he calls it. It's like he put you over. It's like a fireman carry, and then he just like flings you onto the, you know, like to the, you know what I mean. He just like slams you to the mat, and then Justin Gabriel does that 450 splash.
Yeah, you know him, that guy. He doesn't know how to do splashes because it looks like every time he does a splash, he's always holding his side. One of these days he could hurt his spleen, man.
Oh no, but I think he's selling it.
You think so? Because it looks like every time he's holding his side.
So that's what Rob.
Like, he's doing it the wrong way.
Rob Van Dam does that too. And I always thought when Rob Van Dam, you know, did the 5-star frog splash, he always holding himself. I thought it was real. It's until I saw the Hulk Hogan celebrity wrestling thing.
Mm-hmm.
When he was explaining how he does the 5-star frog splash, you know, before he does it, he's standing on the top of the turnbuckle, you know, standing looking at the crowd to, you know, to draw the attention to him before he leaps. And then when he does a leap, he sells it by holding his stomach. Because all those times, I always thought it hurt his stomach. You know what I mean?
Right.
He really sold it well. That I thought he got hurt.
Well, I guess, but I don't know. When that kid does it, it does look like he's not selling anything.
Maybe it does hurt. I mean, but that move is impressive. I mean, it's way better than the Airborne.
Yeah.
I mean, this move is awesome. It got the flip, and it's better than Airborne and the Starship Pain, John Morrison's move.
Yeah.
That is the most devastating, what you would call it, aerial finishing move right now.
Jeff, it's okay. I've seen better though.
Which one you think is better?
Lita's the 360 off the top rope.
The moonsault one.
Moonsault, yeah.
No, I'm talking about right now. There's rumors today I read that maybe she might be coming back to WWE, but I don't know if that's true.
I thought Lita's moonsault is one of the best moves. 1-2-3 Kid did a great moonsault also back in the day.
Yeah, I was talking about right now, but what other ones have you seen in the past that are better? Now that you know.
Lita's,
all time.
Jeff Hardy's.
Yeah, the Sauntown Bomb. Yeah, that's another move.
You know, 1-2-3 Kids, moonsault. There's been some other ones.
Oh, yeah.
Even Jimmy Snooker's splash off the top rope.
Yeah, you said it out of my mouth because I just had a vision of his daughter, Tamia, doing that on, what's her name, Natalya.
Yeah.
From Raw this week. And speaking of the Hart, Bret Hart is siding with WWE and, you know, pretty much signing, what's her name? No, he's again, you know, he has issues with Martha Hart, Owen Hart's widow. He has a, you know, problem that she's, you know, he hasn't seen her or the kids for like, he hasn't seen the kids for like 10 years, and he's barring the kids from, you know, from even, you know, seeing, you know, his father's former, you know, wrestlers, and she's like disavowing any knowledge of his, his wrestling career. And that's why she's suing WWE because of the whole the Hart Dynasty the Hart and Soul new DVD, and it would be stupid for WWE and Heartless if they talk about the Hart family and they don't even talk about and they don't talk about Owen Hart. I mean, Owen Hart is like the second most popular Hart after Bret, so it would be kind of foolish. Talk about Stu Hart, talk about the British Bulldog, and the Hart Foundation, and you don't talk about, you know, Owen Hart. I mean,
yeah, that's
fun.
It don't make no sense.
And she's the main reason why. I mean, I understand where she's coming from. She lost, you know, it's never easy to lose somebody you love.
Yeah.
But even she acknowledges the accident. Because of, you know, her feelings, Owen Hart will never be inducted into the Hall of Fame. You'll never see him in video games or anything like that. In fact, he's slowly but surely erasing his, you know, his legacy. But hopefully she'll have a change of heart.
I hope so.
Because, you know, can't erase but one heart did, you know, for the business. And with that, you know, so we'll talk more. Hopefully LeBron will sign with the Knicks, you know, and Dixon, Metzen, you know, will do better, and we'll shut up to that. I want to thank you, McCall, for on the show.
Thanks, man.
I'll talk to you guys next time.